Archdiocese of New Zealand of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Patitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Patitsis of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. We are looking forward to sharing with you again today our topic that we've had for some weeks now, and those are the difficult sayings of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to pick a rather difficult one, among the difficult ones, extra difficult, and this one is, "For I have come to set a man against his father, and daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." And it goes on. There's other parts of that. So this kind of difficult and challenging passage is what we're hoping to discuss today. We might put as a subtitle the issue of renunciation of the world. Thank you for joining us today. Blessed to have the full team of In the Narthex with us today. Presbytera Katarina, how are you?
Hi. Oh, let's see. Where's my... Do we have volume here? Yes, we do. Hi. How are you?
Good, good. We're glad to have you back at the council there, handling the sound and the music.
Well, we're glad to have you back from Tonga.
Oh, I have mixed feelings about that. I'm glad to be back, but I'm also sad to have left. What a beautiful place and what lively... experience of faith I had there.
Are you going to tell us anything about it?
Well, we're building a church of St. George. And as far as I know, and I think I'm accurate on that, it's the only church dedicated to St. George on the island of Tongatapu, which is the main island there. And it is kind of apropos because all of the kings of Tonga are named after George. They're all Georges. So, including the present king. So, we think that they will like to see that and have a... Not that we did it with that purpose in mind.
It's a beautiful structure that's being built. Do you... have you put a picture on it on our Facebook page?
No, we have to do that. It is a beautiful structure. It's coming along. It's still in construction. There's still a few months or maybe more than that time left of work on it. And... you know, I hate to say it, but if anybody's listening out there who wants to donate toward that, we certainly would welcome it. We are some thousands of dollars yet to go before we can finish that project. But it is coming along quite beautifully, and it was built very solidly with lots of love. So now we're talking about this beautiful... Thank you, Mr. for being with us, because before we get into the answer, what is the meaning behind this, let's just kind of present... the problem. I'm gonna read two passages, and I want to hear your kind of response to that. How do most people hear these things? Christ says in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 10, and I'm going to read all the way up to verse 40. He says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, before I get your feedback, because there's another passage similar in Luke, chapter 14, verse 25 and following. Now, great multitudes accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate," the word is hate there, "his own father and mother, and wife and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And then there, it goes on there too. But I think those two passages are often linked by people who are doing exegesis. They see them as very similar. What do you think most people would hear when they hear those passages, Presidente?
I don't know. Who are most people? Let me think. I can imagine if that is the first thing that somebody read from Holy Scripture of everything that Jesus said and did, or even, you know, the miracles of God from Old Testament times, I think they would find that really confusing. And with there being a lot of anti-Christian sentiment out there, I think they would, you know, there were some people would say, "Hey, see, that's what those Christians are up to. They're all about hate." And so, it's something that saddens me when I hear people say that, because there's no Christianity without love. You can't hate and have Christianity. But anyways,
So you've identified the dilemma there. Someone who reads this might say, "Jesus doesn't want us to love our mother, doesn't want us to love our father, doesn't want us to love our own children. What's going on?"
I mean,
that's
obvious. But we were thinking when we were coming to the radio show that maybe we would see what was going on just before that.
Oh, well,
in Scripture.
Well, in Matthew chapter 10, Christ is talking about how everything is under his care. "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven."
I think sometimes, too, what we need to remember is the time period where this is happening, because Jesus has this message, and in the area, in that part of the world, there's two predominant faith bases. One is polytheism, and the other is monotheism, or the one true God, the God of Abraham. And we know that for the next 300 years, Christianity is going to be so offensive to the state of Rome and various places in Greece that St. Andrew, one of the disciples, gets martyred in Greece. St. Paul gets martyred in Rome. Others are martyred in Jerusalem, and like St. Stephen. So we have, you know, these pagan religions being state religions. But when you've got somebody who's hearing Christ and they're saying to their parents, "I'm going to follow this teaching," there's going to be a separation there.
Well, so what you're saying is, in a sense, there's a prophetic aspect to it, that Christ is trying to prepare people and say, "Look, this is going to happen, so you need to be prepared for it. You need to make up in your mind, are you willing to follow me?" And
even to the point of turning your back against your own family.
Well, he doesn't say not to love, at least in the one in Matthew, he doesn't say not to love mother or father. He says, "Who loves them more than me?" Now, I think that's important for us to talk about. First of all, there is a reference that we should bring in here, and that's to Micah in the Old Testament, and that's in chapter 7 of Micah, because there is a fulfilling of a prophecy of Micah. Here in Christ's words, we hear something very similar. He says, "Put no trust in a neighbor, have no confidence in a friend. Guard the door of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house." And again, if we look at Christ's words, he says, "And the man's foes will be those of his own household," which of course could be exact same wording, just a different, you know, maybe one is in Greek, one is in Hebrew. So we see that Christ is making a reference specifically to that passage. So that's the first insight how we can understand the passage, and that is that there is an apocalyptic aspect. That is to say, God is telling us that Christ is saying with those words, we are coming toward the end of the earth.
Higher than yonder mountain, deeper than the sea, from the breath of the east on to the west, his love started with the sea.
Who is that artist that we've featured so many times in our program?
Yeah, Josh Gerald, because he has so many nice things to say.
Thank God for his artistry. Well, we said, you know, here's a tough topic. Christ says, "He who loves father more than me is not worthy of me." And he also says, "He who does not hate father and mother and brothers and sisters and children and yet even his own life cannot be my disciple." So those are very hard passages, and no doubt about it. But the first one thing we were saying is that it's really a reference. Christ is making a reference to the book of Micah, and he's giving us a glimpse of the fact that Christ is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Micah. So that's the first little clue that we have. The second thing is that we know that we shouldn't interpret it as Christ saying not to love mother and father, because in Matthew, Christ says that he tries to teach the people not to kind of dishonor the commandment, honor your father and your mother. He says, "Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, 'What would you have gained from me? I have now given to God,' he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God." I don't want to confuse you with that. But basically, what Christ is saying is, don't don't use some technicality to get out of honoring your father and mother. That's not allowed. You can't say such and such a thing as korban, therefore I don't have to honor my father and mother with it. So, and then, that's also repeated in Mark. And then also in Matthew chapter 19, he is asked what are the commandments that one should follow. And he says, you should not murder, you should not commit adultery, you should not steal, you should not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbors yourself. So Christ obviously wants us to honor our father and mother. It's not something he stopped teaching about. But what he is talking about, though, is making a priority. Where is our priority? Is it in family ties, or is it in heavenly relationships? And that's an important question, because most of us, I think, you know, if we are part of this world and we're living according to standards, we are told always to make a priority of family relationships and not certainly of church relationships or God relationships, because that's a man-made institution, we're told. Therefore, we don't need to give it honor. But that's certainly up for debate. Is it a man-made institution? I mean, isn't marriage itself a man-made institution, and isn't family a man-made institution? So why is it that the church is looked down upon? Because it's a man-made institution, number one. Number two, is it a man-made institution? It's established by the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. So it's a divine institution, not a man-made institution. But it's also more important that we think about what it's for. The family is there to support us and protect us and bless us and bring us joy in our life, and all those things are good. But the church is there to connect us to our Creator who loves us and to help us to experience in the fullness of our being God's perfect love. And that's a pretty important thing, I would say. So that's worth studying. We'll study it some more now in just a little bit. Today, to help us with our difficult passage, we have been using a article we found online by Rich Robinson, and he's from Jews for Jesus. You may have heard of that organization, jewsforjesus.org. And this article is called, Did Jesus Teach His Disciples to Hate Their Parents? Of course he didn't. But anyway, he makes a reference, which I thought was very interesting, to the Mishnah and to the particular Mishnah called Mishnah Baba Metzia, chapter 2, verse 11. And there's a story in the Mishnah, which, now if you know a little bit about the Jewish history, just like we have a scripture after the Old Testament, they have a scripture after the Old Testament called the Mishnah, and it's full of stories of the rabbis who teach beautiful things. And here it says, on the greater duty to serve the teacher of a parent, note what it says in the Mishnah. If a man went to seek his own lost property and that of his father, his own as priority. If his own and that of his teacher, again, his own as priority. If that of his father and that of his teacher's property has priority. For his father brought him into the world, but it is his teacher who has taught him wisdom, and brings him into the world to come. So there in the Mishnah, you see a glimpse of what Christ is really saying, that you have to prefer me because something greater than father and mother is here when you see me. And I think that's really where we have to focus. Now, Christ isn't an egomaniac asking us to put him as a priority. He is God become man. So he is the creator in the flesh. So if we don't put God become man as our first priority, then, ironically, we've turned the whole world upside down because its priorities then will be backwards. God has to be our first priority since he's the creator of it all, and we are his creature. So, Presidente, tell me now, do you think that helps to answer some of the questions there about that particular?
I think when you talk about it in terms of priority, of course that helps. And if, you know, anybody out there who's tried to make God the priority in their life, they've probably been rewarded for it, except I'm always concerned about those people who make the institutions their priority rather than God, to have a real relationship with God. You hear people talk about with the universe, that, you know, they have this wonderful relationship with the universe, but somehow they feel like the universe, I'm saying with, you know, quote, end quote, doesn't expect you to worship it. I'm like, well, you know, that's another thing. But when we say worship in the Greek Orthodox Church, that means we receive something and we say thank you for it. So how is worshiping God a bad thing? This is part of a dialogue that that I heard earlier today.
Right. I mean, well, the beautiful thing that you're pointing out there is that the universe has a creator. So if we have this trust for the universe, it's because we must trust that it has a order to it. We must trust that it has a plan to it, that it has a wisdom to it, that ultimately good things will prevail and not evil things. And that tells us there's a God there. So maybe we don't want to call him God, but the point is there is a creator God who is organizing and orchestrating the world around us. I guess where people sometimes, that's a whole other topic for another time, but where sometimes people are frustrated with a God and say, well, if he's so all-powerful, why doesn't he stop all evil in the world? And that's another topic for another time. But the simple answer is because he's given human beings freedom.
And the other thing that we were talking about is that word hate is translated very differently from one language to another, and that's probably something really important for us to think about.
Well, we did see that in the Hebrew language, rather, not the Jewish language, forgive me, in the Hebrew language, that the word hate there is can also be seen as a priority. Given, in other words, love versus unloved. You know, love versus hate, and one is given priority over another, and so there's this message from Malachi, chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? The Lord responds, is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. Now, did God really hate Esau, or he just preferred one over the other? I mean, so that's a sign where maybe hated can be seen as a preference. But anyway, there is that word hate, and that also helps us to punctuate and see that the Lord is serious. You know, he really wants us to make a priority of him over every other created thing. And that can be boiled down to something very simple. We are not to worship any creature more than the Creator.
Shall rise to thee.
Well, we're coming close to the end of our program, I think. Is that true, President? Are we about finished?
Yeah, it looks like we've got about 4 minutes.
Okay, well.
Maybe 3.5.
I guess before I let this topic go completely, I think that it's good to see this passage in the context of Jesus' life. Jesus didn't care what other people thought of him. He didn't love the praise of men more than he loved the praise of his own Father. So he didn't do things that would have made him pleasing to men. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. He forgave prostitutes. He touched the unclean. He ministered to everyone.
It's very true. He was very much an example of that because he abandoned his mother to go and minister.
Yeah, and to say that he didn't love his mother, on the cross, he's taking care of her from the cross. Who can think about anything other than themselves when they're dying in pain? But Christ thought of his mother. So we have to say that Christ shows us by example what it means to love God first, what it means to love God first. And that allows us to love everyone because the world around us sometimes wants us to choose and to pick, you know, who we can love and who we can't. But when we love God, we are enjoined to love everyone. So there's much more that can be said about this. I didn't save enough time to cover everything. But just to summarize, we're glad that Christ said these words because it helps us to focus and to realize that this world is not the end all. There is a world to come. Thank you, as always, for listening to our radio program, which is a ministry of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, whose arch-shepherd soon will be Miron. Please know that this coming week, on the 29th and on the 30th, we will have Divine Liturgies, both days Divine Liturgy beginning at 10 with Orthros at 9. In those days, we will be honoring the Holy Apostles Peter and Paul on the 29th and all the Holy Apostles on the 30th, concluding our Apostles' Fast. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you for your support. My sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him. Perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior.